So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to share his word, and we carry on with our study, and I pray that God is opening your eyes and giving you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in the epignosis of him. And this is what we kept looking at yesterday, Ephesians chapter 1, that Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. And, you know, this is a place where he had to run away after the great persecution, where people rioted, and they said, this is Artemis, great Artemis of the Ephesians, you know, the metal workers who realized that they are not going to make any money because Paul was advocating for God's, for a God that does not live in idols, that is not made by human hands. And that is a God that we serve. But he left them, but you know, he had done such a great work there, 2.5 years of preaching daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And the Bible says that the whole of Asia heard the word of the Lord, you know, and you know, God did such a mighty work that he stayed in one place, and people will send, you know, he will just send forth handkerchiefs, you know, because he's like, I don't need to go. I don't need to leave what I'm doing. I am doing a great work of teaching, building the body. And one of the things that makes Christians Christians is just the action of being taught. You can think of Antioch when Saul, Barnabas, you know, went to Antioch, and the Bible says there were great many teachers, and the people, they taught the people, there were prophets, they taught the people. And the Bible says that is where they were first called Christians. Now, of course, there are those who speak of Christians as the meaning is little Christs, and it was mostly, they were like mocking them. But whether they mock you or not, the reality is we are of Christ, you know. Whether we are the little, we consider us little ones or not, but we are the body of Christ. He is our head, and we are his body. And this is the mystery that we keep speaking about. When you see Paul says that his desire is to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. How is this union of Christ, who is our head, and Jesus Christ, who is our head, and we, the church, his body? How is that union? How are we one, you know, that Jesus does not see himself apart from the church? He died for the church. You know, it's just like a husband and his wife. You know, the husband must see the wife as his own body. And when that happens, then the husband wants the best for his wife. And no one should, you know, touch his wife, because if they do, they have touched him, you know. So there is that protection that comes, knowing that if your wife is abused, you are abused. You know, you defend her, not because she is different, but she is yours. And that is how God has always seen the church. Even in the Old Testament, God will see the Israelites as his wife. You know, he will say when they moved away that they have been unfaithful. And then he speaks of unfaithful Judah, unfaithful Israel, you know, and all that discourse that goes about that. That the union, the mystery of the union, is we being united with Christ. And when we are united with Christ, then you must have that mindset that the church is not just an ordinary organization on the earth. The church is a powerful tool, is a powerful organism that in the spirit is united with Christ, is seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions. You know, the church is powerful. And that's why the Bible says, I pray, Paul says that ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you and make mention of you in my prayers. So he's praying for them that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, one of the things that God answers, remember we learned that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. One of the ways that God answers us, you could be asking God for, you know, for money or for, you know, to change your life, to give you a car. And instead of God giving you a car, He will give you a gift. He can give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He can give you a gift of healing. He knows that His gifts come in spiritual forms, but then in them is a capacity to bring you all those things that you are asking of Him. In them, you know, God gives, it's like seed. He gives you a seed, but in that seed are trees, are forests, are, you know, factory, you know, paper, everything, everything that comes from wood, furniture, what? Everything. God does things in seed form. That's the amazing thing about God. When He gives us the seal of the Holy Spirit, He comes in seed form. But as you grow the dynamic power, as you continue to exercise your spirit, as you continue to study the word, to tarry, as you continue to pray in tongues, then you activate the Holy Spirit within you. And within that is every river of living water that is available. The Bible says, for whoever that is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly, out of his inner man, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. That means there are rivers in each and every one of us. Those are streams. They are streams of healing. They are streams of wealth. They are streams of, you know, of comfort. They are streams of direction. They are streams of wisdom, of revelation. All these are available through the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible says there are diversities of spirit, there are diversities of operations, there are diversities of service. All these are administrations. All these things are available in the same seed capacity of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says the most important thing that he prays for the church is that God will grant them. God will grant them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, in the epignosis, in the complete and accurate knowledge of God, of things ethical and things divine. Because when you know Him, I tell you, when you know Him and you know Him to the full knowledge of who God is, what He has done in Christ and that union, then you can start to walk in the liberty of the sons of God. You start to now understand the maturity of the sons of God. You now stop seeing yourself as just a weak person. You now start to see what Christ has done, that you are His hands in that office. You are His mind in that office. You are His thoughts. It's as if Jesus was, you know, as a bank manager, He is, how would He manage this bank? If Jesus was a teller, how would He be a teller at that bank? If Jesus was a doctor, how would He heal? How would He make discoveries in science? Why? Because you now start to see the inward system, the inward capacity. It's like you've been installed some superpowers. You've been installed some divine ability that Paul calls, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are gone, and behold, the new has come. And he says, all things are of God. Then you realize that all of you is of God. Why? Because God is in you and you are in God. And then you start to worship Him, because it humbles you that, oh, how cool this transcendent, all transcendent God, almighty God, choose to dwell in man. And that is why the psalmist asks the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him. You know, you made him a little lower than the angels, but yet you crowned him with glory, with honor and glory. What is it that man, that of all the creatures that you made in the heavens, of all the majestic supernatural beings, that you chose man, that indeed it is the manifold wisdom of God that even the rulers, the powers, the principalities, they wonder, what is it in this man that you made him, that it's because you wanted to reveal the manifold wisdom of God. You wanted to show the principalities and power. What is the meaning of grace? What is the meaning of forgiveness? You wanted to demonstrate to the principalities and powers a physical dimension. God wanted to demonstrate to those spirits, to those principalities in heavenly places, that he can function and he can give dominion to a man. That is his love. The Bible tells us it gives him good pleasure. It's great pleasure when God sees men functioning in what God created them to do. You see, when he is at the Jordan and Jesus is being baptized at the Jordan, the Bible says as he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form as a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Each and every time we walk in obedience, each and every time we are sensitive to the Spirit of God, we move according to the way he asks us to move. Each and every time we hear his voice in those moments, then he says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." God desires sons, and he desires sons who understand, who are in the epignosis, who are in the full and accurate knowledge that God is in them and they are in God. And now when you understand that, the Bible says, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your inner man may be flooded with light. And that, the Bible tells us, the entrance of your word bringeth light and giveth light and understanding to the simple. That means you start to walk in the light. And when light comes, darkness disappears. You know, where there is challenges on the earth, where there is challenges in nations, is because there is no light. The reason we walk, you know, we walk without knowing the way is because we don't have light. It's just like when you wake up in the night and the room is dark and you just need a light. The moment you need a light, then you know where you can step on. But now there is a greater light that works in every man. The Bible says the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, is a lamp of the Lord. That means that God comes to light up our spirits. And when our spirits are lighted, you see things that you had not seen. And you know, the beauty of God is he always either will give you teachers who will reveal that word to you. But even you, as you meditate and study the word of God, one of the things that you'll realize is that you will see things that you are not taught. And even when preachers start to preach, you are seeing ahead, even before they come to it. Now, that is already a mark of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When you start to see things, or even when someone preaches and you realize that, oh, I've learned this before I am hearing it from somewhere else. I tell you, when the spirit of wisdom and revelation hits you, you will be seeing things in scripture. You know, there are people who open this Bible, but then there are people who the Bible is open to them. When the spirit of wisdom and revelation hits you, the Bible becomes open to you. Your inner man is flooded with light. That you can just sit and start meditating and you start asking your question. Hey, but God, what are the hindrances to prayer? Then you start to hear this verse in you saying, oh yeah, and forgiveness. If you don't forgive your brother and sister, this is what will happen, that God will not forgive you. Then you sit a bit and you say, ah, okay. Then the scripture takes you to James and tells you, oh, those that are having selfish needs, those that want their own way, they will not receive anything from the Lord. And then you go and then it moves you again. Oh, those that lack faith, you know, those that are double-minded. And then while you're thinking again, then you think of, oh, what are some of the other reasons that people's prayers are not answered? They're not praying according to the will of God. Ah, and as you think, this, it's like a search engine. You might not even know exactly where that verse is, but if you write it down, then you can look for it. Then you will find that the Holy Spirit was flooding your heart with light. And when your heart is flooded with light, then you know the hope of your calling. You know, light is one of the greatest things that God will ever give any man. The Bible says, "A people walking in darkness have seen a great light." When light comes, darkness cannot comprehend it. I tell you, when light comes over a matter, maybe you have been sick over a long time, and you keep praying and it is not coming. You keep praying and it is not healing. You keep praying and it's not healing. The issue is that we lack light over that matter. And yes, maybe God has shown us, yes, this is what he wants to do. Oh yes, maybe God has shown us that he is going to do it. But the light comes in when you know what to do. We are children of the light. We walk, we don't walk as those in darkness. We walk as those who have direction. Light gives you direction. The Bible says, "The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Light is actually the manifestation of God. Because the Bible says God is light and in him there is no darkness. And he himself, he lives in unapproachable light. That means when light comes, when revelation comes, it is a manifestation of God to you. You know, there are people that God reveals to them in visions and dreams. But then there are people who God reveals himself to them through revelation, through light. And yes, you might see it, the physical light. You be in a place and you see it and you know this was God. But those might be very rare. But there is a place where it is when you see him, the eyes of your understanding, see him in light. And this is what Jesus on the road to Emmaus, when the day of his resurrection with those two disciples, as they were walking, the Bible says he opened the eyes of their understanding. He opened their inner man, their eyes of understanding, to understand the scripture, explaining to them how the Christ must suffer using the laws and the prophets, showing from the beginning of the laws and the prophets how it was prophesied that the Christ must suffer in this way and rise on the third day. And the Bible says, and he, when their eyes of their understanding were opened, he had not yet even opened their eyes to see that it is Christ. But then when they reached the Jesus made as if he was going forward, then they said, no, come with us. They went with him. And the Bible says that when he broke the bread and gave thanks, now their eyes were opened. Light came further. You see, light is in levels. What you think you know now of a scripture is still nothing. But when you sit on it, when you meditate on it, light is flooded. It becomes like a flood. It might start like light rain, you know, like the dew. It will start like light rain. Light rain is the dew of the morning, revelation that comes. But then as you sit on it, then it starts to rain and rain until you are flooded with maximum light. What we need is light, the light of God. Light over situations that we don't understand. Light over areas in our lives that are still dark. When the eyes of our understanding are open, then you know, you discover that some friendships are not for you. Because God will start to reveal it to you. It's in that place in your inner man when your light is lighted by the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, because your spirit is the lamp. So God comes to light it. You can imagine you're a bulb and the Spirit of God comes to light your spirit. Oh, and when your spirit is lighted, that is the time now you preach to people. You know, when you're preparing to preach to people, there is a place where you sit, you meditate, you pray. But as you think of the scriptures, as you think of it, then you will have something will light up in you and you will know that you have been filled. There is a power that has come over you. Then now you know. Then you go and speak. You now go and prophesy. Why? Because you know light has come. It has been revealed. It is a Eureka moment. Hallelujah. Now go and speak to the people. Light has come. The eyes of your understanding. Maybe you're struggling. Oh, what will I share? It's because light has not come. But when light comes, it is clear. It is clarity. The eyes of your understanding be flooded with light, and we'll be able to see, when God allows us, what are the things that you will see: the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power. You know that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sat him at the right hand in the heavenly places. And that right hand is not physical location. It means the hand of power and authority. I pray that God will give us more insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Indeed, light is what we should all aim for, seek for, start that is of darkness. Thank you, Dr. Manuel. Not much to add from my side. It's just a mind and a reflection on how one can attain the light and how we can position ourselves so that that light blossoms in us.
Amen.
Continue to
seek
the Lord. Yeah.
Amen. I love how you put it. Position yourself for the light. Amen.
Yeah. All right. That's it from my side.
No, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you are the true light that gives light to all men. And indeed, it is light that makes manifest. It is light that brings revelation and understanding. And indeed, I pray that you help us to align ourselves, just like the moon aligns to the sun to give us light. I pray that we may align to you, that you might light up, light us up, light our inner man, that indeed we might know the things that you have prepared for us, the things that are available for each and every one of us. In Christ, I pray for light over situations that are not clear, over dead situations, over delayed circumstances, over works where there is rituals and things that are repeating itself, cycles that need to be broken, oh God. I pray for light today. Let your light shine on our hearts, oh God. Let you light up our lamps, oh God. That indeed may we know the hope of our calling, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, the mighty power that is available for us, that power that you raised Christ with when you raised him from the dead. I thank you that it is available for us, O God. May we walk in light. May we walk in truth. May we walk in the guidance of the Lord. May we walk in encouragement, O God. May we be protected. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our loved ones, oh God. Thank you for our friends, oh God. We pray for those that need comfort, oh God, this morning, that your hand of comfort shall be with them, oh God. We bless you, we honor you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. Blessed morning.